It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, September 26th. I'm Patricia Naft. Colorado State Senate contender Don Supas is in an awkward position after his official Twitter account tweeted about a white supremacy website. The Daily Sentinel reports that Supas fired the staffer who sent the tweet and says he doesn't know why she wrote that the website was a, quote, interesting read. He says the account was also hacked. Supas is running for the 5th District, which includes Gunnison and Delta counties. The Centers for Disease Control doesn't just track West Nile and Ebola. KVNF's Jake Ryan looks at a disease that's exploded across America.
Diabetes is a huge issue for Americans. The CDC says that between 1980 and 2008, the number of people with diabetes more than doubled. The most recent data shows that the rates are still just as high, but the rapid rise seems to have reached a plateau. It's good news, sort of. Delta County has the highest rate of diabetes on the Western Slope, afflicting about 8.5% of the people. Mary Grosvenor is a dietitian and diabetes educator at Delta County Memorial Hospital.
It is a continuing problem. I probably see or get referred 5 new patients a week to come see me for diabetes education. And I'm also working, Delta Hospital is a part of the CDC Diabetes Prevention Program, so we're also working to see people who have what's called pre-diabetes, which is an elevated blood sugar but not high enough to be called diabetes. And we have a big population that's eligible for that program as well. So in what I see, it seems to be growing.
And Mary's right. Nationally, rates aren't decreasing, they're just not accelerating as much. In 2011, the most recent data, Delta County had 162 new cases of diabetes. She has a few ideas why Delta County stands out.
Well, risk factors for diabetes are getting older, so we have an older population. Being Hispanic, we have a Hispanic population. Lack of exercise, being overweight. So if you compare us to, say, Denver has a young, athletic population. That's not your typical Delta population.
Mary works with several awareness and education programs to try to turn things around.
If people were to get 150 minutes of exercise a week and lose 7% of their body weight, which isn't a whole lot, that their risk of diabetes would decrease by 58%.
It should be noted, though, that Delta's 8.6% is nothing compared to parts of Alabama or Mississippi, where 1 out of every 5 people has diabetes. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Resource-rich Colorado has a long history of mining and exploration that's left many ghost towns across the state. What most often comes to mind are old silver boom towns abandoned in the mountains. But Colorado's plains are also home to several forgotten towns. KUNC's Grace Hood reports on one such place whose history still lives on today.
Kyoto's silver water tower shines in the bright daylight. It's not the only remains of the town that was first founded in 1888 along the now-defunct Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy rail line. Walk to the corner of Roland Oak and Tioga Avenues, green street signs that are still standing, and you find a bright yellow house.
You and I are not going to be able to even walk up to the front porch.
Today, you open up the gate and find nothing but mounds and mounds of tumbleweeds. Peggy Ford Waldo is with the City of Greeley Museum.
Several years, or at least a couple years worth of very dried tumbleweeds.
I'm kind of interested in what this sounds like. It's very dry here.
This house used to be occupied by Ariel Sandstedt. She grew up in it during the 20s and 30s. It later became a quilting hub.
There was a tremendous amount of activity with quilters coming from around the entire region here to go through this house.
Kyoto is a speck on the map, but it was visited by novelist James Michener when he wrote Centennial in the 1970s. People who grew up in Kyoto still hold reunions to talk about town life. So why has it captured so many people's imaginations? It could be the entrepreneurial spirit in Clyde Stanley. Next door to the Yellow House, we walk to an abandoned brick building with boarded up windows. It's the old general store and headquarters for the Kyoto newspaper, which Stanley ran.
He had bought the Erie News and the Lafayette News. He moved his printing equipment in 1911 out here and founded the Kyoto News. And
so this town was big enough that it had a newspaper.
Right, and a small opera house and a fire department. It had churches. It had a school, very beautiful school.
In fact, Kyoto town life in the 1920s is the subject of a History Colorado Center exhibit, which involves a recreated general store, railroad depot, even a fictional ride in a Model T Ford.
Hi, Joe, Bridget, where are you two going?
We're going to visit grandmother's house.
We'll pull over so you can pass.
Kyoto really was a story we were interested in because of the people, because of the environment.
Elisa Zahler is with the History Colorado Center and helped design the exhibit in Denver. She says there are many parts of Kyoto that embody the Colorado spirit.
People who endured hardship, who may have sometimes failed as far as the town, but whose enduring spirit led them on to other endeavors.
And nobody symbolized that better than Clyde Stanley, the newspaper guy. Back outside his boarded-up home, Greeley History Museum's Peggy Ford Waldo says when business got tough in the 20s, Stanley stayed, running a general store and a post office. And he turned his printing press toward another goal.
He primarily printed the type of forms that postmasters in third and fourth class post offices, small post offices, would need. And then he just did some other kinds of printing on his own.
Seems like kind of a sharp entrepreneur. I mean, he's able to reinvent himself based on the needs around, the business needs.
He did. Yeah.
After a population and farming boom during World War I, the town's population began to decline in the 20s and 30s. Clyde Stanley was one of the last residents to leave in the 1970s. Kyoto was eventually unincorporated in 1991. Ford Waldo says visiting the town today highlights powerful individual stories and Colorado's collective history.
We don't, as people, always set our visions on the amazing things close to us. We plan trips far away. And so finding all of this excitement and interest in your own backyard, you maybe have to work at or make a determined effort, I guess, to do.
And all it takes is a day trip to the Eastern Plains. For KUNC, I'm Grace Hood.
And finally, back in the late 1930s, President Roosevelt started a massive photography campaign across America to document poor farmers. Thousands upon thousands of photographs were taken, and they're in the Library of Congress. Recently, Yale University created a new way to look at them. Anyone can go online and find Depression-era photographs by county. The site has hundreds of photographs from Delta, Mesa, Montrose, Ouray, Gunnison, and San Miguel counties. There's color and black and white photos of abandoned Telluride gold mines, the 1940 Delta County Fair, barbecues, and more. You can find the link at our website at kvnf.org. Stay tuned for Western Slope Skies, followed by the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.